Amen. So I don't know about you, but life can feel overwhelming at times. The pressures of life can feel just all too much. We have a country, don't we? At the moment, that is all over the place. We have jobs that are stressful and can stretch us to the maximum. We have family lives, particularly if we've got younger children, that are just relentless and tiring and never ending. We have mental health issues that on any given day can rob us of our joy from our lives. We have suffering, maybe you felt it recently, that's just knocked the wind out of our sails. We have close family members dying. We have people around us that abandon us at our time of needs. We have people that we have invested in and seen come to Christ just turn their backs and shun the gospel. And in ministry, we have pastoral problem after pastoral problem after pastoral problem after pastoral problem. And out of these circumstances in our lives, especially when we're stretched, we naturally ask this question: where are you, God? What are you doing in my situation right here, right now? Do you care? Are you even listening to my prayers? Do you not see what is happening to me at this moment in time? Well, if you ever felt that way and called that prayer, which is probably all of us here, you felt like the Israelites feel in chapter 40 of Isaiah. You see, when this book is written, the Israelites' heads, as we say in Scotland, are battered. They're battered. In the last few years, they've been invaded by the superpower at the time, the Assyrians. They've battered their cities, razed them to the ground, and they've taken all the young and fit and healthy to their empire in Assyria. They've ravaged the country. Now the Lord has sorted the people out into this circumstance. He's defeated the Assyrians when Isaiah 40 is written. But now the next great superpower is on the rise, and that's the Babylonians, an empire that's even bigger and badder than the Assyrians. And the people of God, when Isaiah 40 is written, have got a coward of a king who's landed them in a bit of a mess. And so as the people of God, you can think, get into their mindsets, they're thinking one thing after another. First we've had the Assyrians come, and now we've got the Babylonians coming. The people don't feel safe. Their families have been ripped apart, their heads are a mess, their situation feels hopeless. And so they've been saying to each other, and you can see this in verse 27, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my gods. In other words, does not God care for us anymore? Has he forgotten us? Why isn't God answering our prayers? Say the same thing in Isaiah 49 verse 14, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Basically, where are you, Lord? Can you not see what's happening to me? Are you there? Are you listening? What is going on? And into this situation, we get this beautiful chapter in the Bible, Isaiah 40. And God speaks to his people and he reminds them into this situation of who he is, and also what he can do. So what does he remind them in these verses? The first thing he reminds them is of this. He reminds them of his great power. Look at verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. The question we often ask when life is on top of us is this: can God sort out my problems? Is he powerful enough to sort out what's going on in my life? And the answer from this text is 100% yes. Isaiah says, look at the creation and see how great your God is. Just flick back to verse 12 in Isaiah 40. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Question after question, and the answer to all those questions is only the Lord. Only the Lord. He is the one who knows how much water is in the sea. He is the one who can hold the seas literally in the palm of his hands. Look up at the skies. He's the one who put the skies up there in the heavens. He is the one who put the land on the earth. He is the one who can weigh the mountains in a scale. I mean, just think how immense our God is. Just think about how great our God is. Some of us like to go to the gym. And when we go to the gym, we can pick up some weights, can't we? Look at me, I can pick up maybe a bag of flour, and that's about it. Some of us can pick up a little bit more. But none of us can pick up the mountains and hold them in our hands. That's what God can do. Later in verse 26, he says to the people, look at the stars in the sky. Look at the stars in the sky. And he asks them, who created all these? Who knows them by name? Who keeps them up in the sky? And again, the answer is the Lord. The created order around us shows us the immensity of our God, the immensity of our Creator. There are 10 billion galaxies. You know this. There are 10 billion galaxies that we can see by the eye. Not even the ones we cannot see. About 10 billion galaxies. And in each galaxy, there's approximately 100 billion stars. So up in the sky, when you look up and you start to count them, and we get to about 100, and that's about it, there are actually over 1 billion trillion stars up there. It's not like they're small stars in the universe. They are thousands of times bigger than the Earth that we inhabit. And Isaiah says, look up at those stars, think about how great they are, look at how many are there, and he says, the Lord put them there. Not only that, the Lord is sustaining them. And not only that, he knows each one by name. So if he's holding all that together, is he limited in power? No, he's not. Can he sort out our little problems? I think he can. The problem that we have as Christians is this. We often forget that, don't we? We let the situations we find ourselves in cloud our vision of the Lord. That's why Isaiah says in the beginning of the chapter, go up onto the mountain. Go up onto the mountain, shout this to the people. Behold your God. The Empire of Babylon is mighty, but remember, God is greater. The king of Babylon might look impressive and might have lots of power, but your God who created the heavens is greater and more powerful. In fact, that little king is a drop in the bucket of an ocean. The armies of the world look powerful, but they're nothing compared to the Lord. That's what the people need to remember, and that's what we need to remember as well. When we get a proper understanding of who our God is, and we get a proper understanding of who we are in comparison, that we are grasshoppers and so are the people around us, it puts our problems that we're going through in perspective. What happens, though, is this. We flip it. We make our problems like the mountains. And God like a little grasshopper. But take a step back from your problems for a minute. take a step back from the things that are going on in our world and look at God, look at what he has created, then our comparison, then our problems shrink in comparison, don't they? If we remembered each day that God is the creator, that he created everything that we have in this universe, then our little problems would become grasshoppers rather than mountains. It's like when we get mad about something stupid, maybe in the house, like the dishwasher not being stacked properly. Debbie gets mad at me all the time because I put the dishes on top of the counter, I don't put them in the dishwasher. I don't know if anyone else has that problem. But she gets annoyed about it. I get annoyed by a messy house. We all get annoyed by our little pet things, don't we? But our little problem that we're having right then and getting annoyed about shrinks in comparison when you get a phone call saying that someone's died. Puts the anger that we have about a dishwasher or whatever our stupid little pet peeve is in a bit of perspective, doesn't it? Well, when we come to the Lord and we see how great he is and we behold him in all his glory, it puts our worries in perspective. Are you worried about your job security today? Isaiah says to you, behold your God. Are you having money problems? Are you going through money issues? Behold your God. Are you worried about the future? Are you worried about your kids' future and what they're going to do? Isaiah says, behold your God. Are you worried about Brexit and what's going to happen afterwards? The Lord says, behold your God. Are you stressing about family? Are you stressing about the situations in your life? Take a step back and behold your God. Are circumstances overwhelming? Are they so heavy on your shoulders that you feel like you cannot go forward anymore? Stop and behold your God. We're doing a Bible time. We do a Bible time every evening with the kids, me and Debbie. And we were reading Psalm 3, verse 3, which says this: you are my glory and you are the lifter of my head. And so we're doing a little action. We were saying to Isla and Isaac, you know, look down like this, and then look up. That's what the Lord does. Look down and look up. The Lord lifts up your head so you can see his glory. Well, this is what we do, don't we, when we've got problems and life is overwhelming. What do? We look down. We're not looking at who God is. We're not looking at what Christ has done for us. We're looking down, aren't we? And we're navel-gazing. What happens when we navel-gaze? We feel sorry for ourselves. And we get ourselves a little self-pity party. But what the Lord wants us to do, stop looking down at our circumstances. Stop looking down at your situations and the things that you're going through. Even though they are important to him, he says, look up. Look up. Look up and see. Look up from your problems and see what the Lord has created and who the Lord is you are dealing with. Look up and see how powerful he is. I don't know about you, but it happens to me every week, but you feel overwhelmed, don't you? I felt overwhelmed at times this week, this month. The pressures of ministry have felt on top. Things have been difficult at different times. It's easy to be stressed. What's kept me right and what keeps us right as Christians is knowing that God is greater than any problem we're going through. It shrinks our problems that we are facing right down to size. He is the creator who made everything. He is the creator who maintains everything. He is the creator who sustains everything. He is the creator who directs everything. He is the creator who is in control of everything in this universe. Do we believe that? When life is on top, look at the mountains. When life is on top, look at the sea. When life is on top, look at the stars. And remember, God created all these. And not only is the God who created the mountains, but Jesus says he is the God who by faith can move the mountains too. He's powerful. Greater than our problems and our issues that we are facing today. Secondly, doesn't remind them just of his power, but he also reminds them of his wisdom. Just look at verse 29. It says, he does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. The second thing we think when things are overwhelming, when things are on top, is basically God does not know what he is doing. You ever thought that? We look at the world and we think, oh God, you don't know what you're doing. There's no order here. We look at our lives and we think, God's not really in control. He's not really sovereign over my life and what I'm going through. We think this. If we were running the universe, we would do a much better job of running our lives than we would, than he would. And what we're doing there is we are doubting God's wisdom in our lives. And Isaiah reminds the people here that God knows exactly what he's doing every single minute of every single day. Because God knows everything. Listen to verses 13 and 14. Isaiah asks, who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult? And who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Again, the answer is nobody. No one has taught God anything. I mean, we get all our wisdom and knowledge from other people, don't we? Get our wisdom and knowledge from school. These days, it's more on TV, and Wikipedia is our go-to for education. But we get what we know from other people, don't we? We learn everything we know from others. But he did not go to a school to learn justice. He didn't go to a school to learn wisdom. He didn't go to university to learn anything about knowledge. He doesn't need us to understand stuff. He is the wise creator who has put everything in its place. Didn't need an IKEA universe flat pack to put things together. He spoke and the world came into being. He's the wise creator and he knows all things. Psalm 147 verse 5 says this, great is the Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. He is the teacher and we are supposed to be the pupils. Here's what we do. When life is on top, when things are overwhelming, we think we should give God a little school lesson. We think he needs to spend a few minutes in our classroom. But the truth is, we need to come back to his classroom. We need to sit under his words. We need to understand that he is the God who's working out all things according to his perfect purposes. He does not make mistakes. His will is perfect. He knows what he's doing no matter what is going on in our lives every single time. I mean, he's been ruling the universe since the beginning, so I think he knows what he's doing a little bit more than we do. Don't you? Isaiah 55 verses 8 to 9 says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Maybe we are suffering this morning because God wants to humble us. Maybe things are on top and overwhelming this morning because God wants to teach you to trust in him in every season of life. Maybe our little one isn't sleeping through the night and it's causing us sleep deprivation because he wants to teach us some patience. Maybe we're single at the moment because God wants to teach us contentment. Maybe God is saying no to something at the moment in our lives that we're asking for because in his wisdom he knows it will harm us. We don't know the mind of God, do we? We don't know why difficult things happen to us sometimes, but we can know one thing. He knows what he's doing. We don't know everything, but he does. And we need to learn in the Christian walk to trust in him. We need to stop listening to our emotions that dictate a lot of what we do these days and lean hard into the Word of God, because it's the truth that will never let us down, and it's the truth that gives us the right perspective in our lives. That's what Isaiah says in verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God will stand forever. There might be a mess in our country. Things might be a mess in our lives. People might have let us down this week. Our heads might be battered with the situations that we are facing. But we can be 100% sure of one thing today: His Word will never fail us. The only thing that stands in this roller coaster of a world, and it is a roller coaster of a world, of a roller coaster world of emotions, is His words of God. That is a word that we can bank our lives on today. That is a word that we can trust in. That is the word that will be fulfilled. And let's face it, we're soon going to be dead anyway. But the Word of God will never die. It never fails. It always remains. So if fear is getting the upper hand in your life today, you need to throw yourself on the promises of God. If we're doubting God's plan for our lives, you need to throw yourself on the promises of God. If we feel that life is not in control, then you need to throw yourselves on the promises of God. Do not trust your circumstances. Do not trust your emotions. Don't trust them. Do not trust the people around you, but trust in God's never-failing wise word. Secondly, he reminds them of His wisdom. Thirdly, he reminds them that He is the God who cares. He's the God who cares. Here's a lie that we believe when things are on top and life is overwhelming: God doesn't care for me. God doesn't care about my little situation that I'm going through. And that's what the people of God thought, didn't they? They thought He had abandoned them. They thought He had forsaken them. Their rights and their ways were disregarded by the Lord. But here's the truth: He never abandoned them for a minute. They had abandoned Him, hadn't they? They had forsaken their God. They had sinned against Him. The Lord had punished them. But now in Isaiah 40, the promise is He's going to pick them up again. They're like a child who has fallen over and they've bruised their whole body because they've let go of their parents' hands. But now He's picking them up. Now He's taking them by the hand again. And He's going to intervene. That's what this whole chapter has been about. Verse 1, He said this: comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her. He wants to comfort the people even though they have sinned terribly against Him. Verse 11, He says He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs in His arms. He'll carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Yes, He is mighty. Yes, He is great. Yes, He's the creator of everything. Yes, He's in control of all things. But He's also the gentle shepherd who carries His people. Just think about that image of God taking up the young in His arms and carrying them closely to His chest. That's our God. You ever seen a parent with a newborn? Newborn snuggled into the woman's breast. She's not letting go of that little child. Speaking tenderly to him or her. That's what the Lord is like with His people. Our God carries us close to Him. He cares for us. He tends to us. He carries us. He gently leads us. And in the most difficult and overwhelming situations, He has not for one minute abandoned us. Whatever we are going through this morning, do not believe the lies of Satan that he does not care. He always cares. The Bible says the Lord knows every hair on your head this morning, even those of us who are losing it. He knows every thought in our minds. He knows every intimate detail of our lives. And the opposite of this doubt should be in our minds, shouldn't it not? in response to God's greatness and in response to God's immensity, we should say this: What is God that he's mindful of me? Or the Son of Man that he should care for me? Who am I that the great creator of the universe speaks to me? Who am I that the all-knowing one should love me? Who am I that God has been so merciful to me even though I've rebelled against him time and time and time and time again? And the promise from this chapter is that whatever struggle we are facing, he will always give us the strength to endure. Love those verses at the end of the chapter that Paul read earlier. He gives power to the faint. These are promises for us. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he will increase it. Even youths shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Here's one thing I've learned in the Christian life. The Lord does not often change our circumstances, but he always gives us the grace to sustain us. He might not take things away from our lives that we pray for, like the thorn in the flesh, but he will always, always, always give us the strength to keep on going, because his grace is sufficient every day and his mercies are new every morning. After the Assyrians, for the Israelites will come the Babylonians. After the Babylonians will be the Greeks. After the Greeks will be the Romans. After the Romans, well, the rest is history. But the Lord will sustain those who are his. He shall renew those faithful people with his strength again and again and again and again, as he has done since the beginning. So if you're feeling weak and overwhelmed this morning by life circumstances, what are you to do? What's a take-home lesson from this morning? Wait upon him. Our response should be to wait upon him, and he will renew our strength. Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. In other words, stop trying to change your circumstances and your situation in your own strength. Stop panicking about it. Stop looking down at yourself and feeling sorry for the circumstances you're going through. Stop worrying about what is happening and wait and hope in the Lord. Stop. Stop what you're doing. Read God's word, drink in his promises, and call out to him. Each morning we should pray this: Lord, today I am at an end to myself, so I start my day with you. O God, who needs nothing, grant me what I need for the day ahead. And in our weaknesses and in our failings, he will strengthen us. See, you might be at the end of yourself today. You might be, it was even a struggle to get out of bed this morning to come to church. Don't even want to be here today. When you're at the end of yourself, you can turn to the Lord and he'll give you the supernatural strength to keep going in the midst of the worst trials of life. We might feel weak, but the hope of the Bible is that God never does. We might feel faint, but he never does. We might fall asleep, but he never will. And when we're at an end to ourselves, he will always give us what we need. We sang it earlier, didn't we not? Strength will rise. You can finish it. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. And do you know what? When you are at your weakest point, that's the best place to be. Because that is when we turn to Jesus. Jesus says this: I will give you rest. Come to me, all who labor. Come to me, all
who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do we believe that this morning? Many of us are looking for rest, aren't we? Many of us, our souls are restless. We're feeling weak, we're feeling all over the place, we're fretting, we're worried, we're overwhelmed. There's one place you can find rest this morning, as in the Lord Jesus and in his church. When we turn from our sins, when we turn from our sins and repent of them and trust wholly in Christ, we receive peace and we receive rest for our souls. And that never changes. Yes, we believe upon Christ on the day that we're saved, and then we do that every day for the rest of our lives. There's nothing more difficult in the Christian life, is there? It's getting more complicated than that. Turn from your sin, trust in Christ, and he'll give you what you need for each day. So has God forsaken you today? Has God forsaken his people? Not a chance. Does God have the power to fulfill his promises? Of course he does. Does God know what he's doing? Yes, he does. Does God care for me and my circumstances? Yes, he does. And we can trust in all of this and every single promise that God has made in the Bible because of Jesus. On the cross, Jesus fulfilled every single promise that was made. On the darkest day of history, when all was at sea, God had a plan. And it's only our God, the great creator of all things, who will send his only son into the world to die for us. Does not show his care for us? This whole chapter reminds us, do not lose faith. Do not keep going. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep waiting in him, on him, and he shall renew your strength. Wait upon him today. And rest in Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to pray.